Because today we're starting a brand new series on relationships called Relationships That Work. And this series, y'all, I'm going to let y'all know, we're going to get real. We're going to be straightforward. We're going to go there in some places, because I believe that in order for us to walk in abundance, we got to get some truth, because Jesus says the truth will set us free. And so today is essentially a foundation message that's going to help us to lean into this series on relationships so that our relationships can work. And we got these invite cards in the hallway. We want you to invite people all throughout the course of this series, parents, married people, dating, single, whatever. This series is for them. So let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's word for a quick moment. We're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And a big shout out to our worship team for leading us in worship. Grateful for them and all of our team who are serving. Shout out to our kids team who are back here serving right now. Great space. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Bless God for our kids team. Amen. But here's what it says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. I want to go back to verse 24. Here's what it says. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man built his house on the rock. So as we begin this new series on relationships, I want to preach from this theme and thought to kick off this series and call today's sermon, Do It God's Way. Tell the person beside you, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and grace. Thank you even now for your word. We pray, God, that you would help us to be locked into your word, to hear your word, to receive your word, to not be distracted by things happening around us, not be distracted by phone calls and text messages, but to be locked in and receive what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Let me ask us a question, family. I want you to be honest just by show of hands, because honesty is good for the soul. How many of us struggle with following directions? I'm looking at some of y'all like, you definitely struggle, but you ain't raised it. I'm just joking. Struggle with following instructions. I think if we're honest, all of us have a little bit of a struggle sometimes when it comes to certain things with following instructions. And I think the reason being is because we want to be in control. We want to do it our way. Matter of fact, our pride begins to tell us that we don't need to listen to any type of advice or counsel, that we can just do it our way because we know what we're doing and ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing. I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman. I got my own money, got my own house. You can't tell me what to do. I think all of us, if we're honest, we all struggle to some degree with following instructions. When I think about this, I thought about how recently my son, my oldest, Josiah, and I, one thing that he loves to do is he loves to build Legos, and he loves to build these different creations. And one thing that he's notorious for doing, he loves to build them, and then like a week later, the pieces are everywhere. And he has this whole bucket of just Legos that were once built and formed into something, but then he just took them apart. He loves to build things. But one thing that he recently got was this very massive sized Lego creation, if you will. And I asked him, I said, buddy, can I use your Lego construction and creation as a part of my sermon? So he was like, absolutely that. So, Eric, can you bring me that bag right there really quickly? Because I want to show y'all something that he recently put together that for me, I'm like, man, dude. He did it on his own. And it was pretty pretty outstanding. Make sure I take it out right. And it was this Mandalorian Lego creation. And I remember when he built it, he was like, "Yo, Dad, I did it." I was like, "Did what?" He said, "I built the Mandalorian ship, and it looks dope. It looks awesome." So he showed it to me. I was like, "Dude, that's crazy." Because I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at all these different details of it, and I'm trying to make sure I don't drop it, because if I drop it, pray for me. I ain't going to put it together. I'm going to be real with you. But I was looking at it. I was like, man, that's so incredible. But we all know that something like this always starts in here. And when you see it, I remember when we were in the store and he got it, he was fascinated by how it looked. But there's a way in which you go from here to here. Like, this didn't just come in a box, a symbol. Matter of fact, this box has 412 pieces. And that in order to go from here to here, there needs to be something that you follow. That you can't just take pieces out of this box and get this picture and get this. That you actually need some assistance. That you actually need something. I'm going to put this over here so I don't accidentally step on it. But you said you're scared. But we all know that in the box there is something that's called a manual. And that in order to get from that to that, you need this. Because it's in this where you have all the different steps and all the different pieces and what you got to put where and how you got to construct it. And it tells you how to design it and how to set it up. And I thought about that even in the context of relationships, but also in the context of life, because I wonder how many of us are trying to build this and this without something like this. How many of us are really trying to build our lives without the manual? And what I've realized, family, is that many of us want the model, but don't want to follow the manual. It's real quiet already. Okay, I see what this series is going to be like. Many of us want the picture, but don't want to go through the process. Many of us want the image, but don't want the instructions. Can I ask you something right now when you think about this and this whole aspect? What manual are you following when it comes to building your life and more specifically relationships? What kind of manual are you following? Are you following culture's manual? Are you following family's manual? Are you following the social media influencer manual? Right? One of the things that that grieved my soul was hearing a few years ago, I won't mention the name because many of us may know it, and I don't want to insinuate that I'm causing shame because I'm not, but just want to use this as an example. But it was a few years ago, a couple, very high, well-known in the media, and a lot of people were looking to this couple. They had only been married for about 8 or 9 years, but they wrote all these different books on marriage and you know, how to have a lasting marriage. Only for them a year ago to experience divorce. And I remember seeing that, and it was heartbreaking, one, because anybody who's ever walked through a breakup in any type of relationship, you know how much pain it is. But then I began to ask the question, does that mean that everything that you put out prior to this point, we need to question? Because if you wrote about how to make a marriage last, now they meant well. I 1,000% mean they meant what they wanted to help people. But so much of what they were trying to get people to do was to do what they did. So they provided a manual, but the problem was their manual hadn't been tested. This has been tested to be able to build that, to be able to build this. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, when it comes to our life, when it comes to our relationships, what manual are we following? What set of instructions are we following? Because We want our lives to be nice and pretty and pristine, and we want that, you know, nice relationship, and we want our life to be picture perfect, all these type of things. But a lot of times, we got messed up instructions. You know what's interesting? You know what's also true? There's no way I can build that and he can build this with the wrong set of instructions. Because there's no point in being able to have this and all the pieces in it, but the wrong book was in here. And here's what I've realized. All of us have the pieces in our lives to be who God has called us to be. Because the scripture says in 2 Peter 1 to 3 that he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So in other words, God has provided everything that we need. But the question is, are we willing to follow his instructions to get what he's called us to be? What manual are you following? What instructions are you following? What are you building? What are you cultivating? Say it like this. I want you to write this down, that oftentimes we want the gift, but we don't want the guidelines. So I want this, but I don't want to follow this. Now, some of us, let's be real, because when you get certain gifts or whatever the case may be, and it could be a grill, it could be a bed. Some of y'all are like, I don't need no instructions. I'm going to just look at this. And then when you get the building, you got all these screws left over, and what's this? I ain't supposed to have extra pieces. Come on, some of us got that little bit of an aggressive spirit where you're like, I don't need no instructions. I got this. And what I've realized is every time that I've had that type of spirit and mentality with building anything, it has always led to frustration. And it has always, watch this, led to me having to go back and repair something and fix something. Or here's a popular term that many people are using now, deconstruct something. I remember one time me and Joe were building something, and we left out a crucial piece. And you know what we had to do? We had to go all the way back because we skipped a step. And how many steps are we skipping because of us not following the right manual? The right manual when it comes to building our career, when it comes to building our family, when it comes to dating. What kind of dating advice do you follow? If they look good, I'm good. Well, and for a hard reality. If they smell good, I'm good. They got a little piece of money, I'm good. What manual are you following? Because when you follow the wrong manual and the wrong instructions, it leads to a dysfunctional creation. And when it comes to relationships and friendships, dating, marriage, being single, work, intimacy of any kind, we need a manual. We need instructions. Here's what I'm saying. We need direction. Everybody say direction. And it brings us here to Matthew chapter 7. You can take this. Matthew chapter 7. And what's interesting about Matthew chapter 7 is Jesus is talking about how any person who wants to have anything of any type of value has to be a certain way in which they go about it. He's been teaching this crowd of people that are around him on the backside of a mountain. We call this the Sermon on the Mount, because from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, he's giving these people principles as to how they should live their lives and what a kingdom life looks like. Not a life according to culture, but a life according to kingdom. And so Matthew 7 now brings us to the end of his sermon. And the context here in Matthew chapter 7 is earlier, prior to what Jesus is getting ready to say that we're going to look at in verses 24 through 27. Prior to this, in verses 13 through 23, what Jesus begins to talk about is this contrast between that which is real and that which is fake. Authentic versus counterfeit. And he says this in around verse I think 16 or something like that. He says, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into heaven. He says, not everybody who says Lord will enter the kingdom. And here's what he's saying. There are many people on the surface who profess to know me, but I don't know them. If I was in a crowd right now, if I were to tell you, oh, yeah, I know LeBron James, and LeBron James was to come up in here, and I'd be like, hey, yo, LeBron, you remember when we went? He'd be like, I don't even know you, bro. And what Jesus is saying, there are many people who make these professions but don't have connection. So he's contrasting this difference between what is real and what is fake. He talks about relationship with him. He says, because you might say you know me, but the question is not whether you know me. The question is whether I know you. The question is whether or not we are connected. Why is this so important? Because you can be religious for Jesus, don't miss this, without having relationship with Jesus. So you can come in here on a Sunday morning, you can join a connect group, all that good stuff. You can do all those great things. And check this out, because culture will oftentimes say, and sometimes even in the body of Christ, we like to say that there's something wrong with religion. No, there ain't nothing wrong with religion. The problem is when we put religion before relationship. When I'm in relationship with Jesus, it now should lead to some religious, which simply means consistent activity. So because I love my wife, I religiously tell her that. So the issue is not activity. The issue is relationship. And what Jesus is trying to help us understand is that, hey, family, there's one or two ways you can do this. You can do it the real way or you can do it the fake way, which now sets up the scene for what he gets ready to close out with in Matthew 7. Because now he tells this parable of sorts about two houses and two builders. And for these past few chapters, he's been preaching for people to know how life is supposed to function. He gives all these different focal points about how marriage should function and how we should love people and how we should serve people. And so he ends these verses, but he gets to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is this, the foundation of a person's life. Somebody say, what's your foundation? And if you know anything about foundation, about building houses, the foundation of the house is the most important thing of a house. The foundation of a building is the most important part of the building. It is what holds up a house. It is what holds up the building. It is the foundation that determines its strength. So while many people will place a lot of attention on the cosmetics, Jesus says, no, what you need to look at is the foundation first. Because you can have great siding on the house, you can have great windows, you can have a great roof, and you can have a great door, and you can have an amazing kitchen, but if your foundation is not right, cracks begin to show. The house begins to shift, and the value begins to go down. He says, the foundation is what's most important. So I want you to look at verse 24. He says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jump down to verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Here's what I want you to see that's similar in both of these verses. Two people are both building something, which helps us to understand something about our lives. I need us to get this. Every single person in here, myself included, we are all building something. All of us. We're all building something. We're all building a career. We're all building a relationship. We're all building a marriage. We're building a family. We're all building a health, whatever it is. We're all building something. But the question is, what are you building? How are you building? What are you building it on? The question is whether or not what you and I are building will actually stand. Will it actually last? Will it actually, let me say it like this for the sake of our relationship series, will it work? Because some of us, let's be real, come on, we're going to keep it a stack for this series because God wants us to walk in abundance in our relationships in every area of our life. Some of us are in moments right now in different relational dynamics, whether it's family, whether it's peer, whether it's friendship, whether it's coworker, child, whatever the case may be. And you've said some of this. You've said this multiple times. This ain't working. Anybody ever said that before? Man, this ain't working. Something's off. It's not working. And Jesus wants us to examine whether or not what we're building is working. Because you can date somebody for years and it not be working. You could be married for years and it still not work. I have known people who've been married 50, 60 years and did not love each other. You could be on a job for a long time and it still not be working. Frustrated. Some of y'all, the thought of of going to work tomorrow makes you mad. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, why did you even have to bring this up? My Sunday was going so great. All of a sudden, look at you. Done brought it up. You could be in a family for years and it still not work. And don't misinterpret, let me say it like this. Don't mistaken the fact that duration means like it's correct. Let me say it like this. That longevity does not always equal productivity. So like, just because you were doing something for a long time don't mean you were doing it right. You know, one of the things that I recently discovered, I was talking to one of the trainers at our gym, and he said, Edwin, you know what's interesting? He said, many people, there's a lot of people who come to the gym, have been coming to the gym for years, but they ain't changed at all. They still look the same. They haven't lost no weight. But they be in here 5 days a week. They show up religiously every week. But they ain't dropped no pounds, gained pounds. Because you do realize that you can be doing the wrong thing for a long time. Y'all ain't talking back to me at all today. You do realize that you can be in something for a long time and it not be fruitful. Which now leads to the fact that we have now settled. And this is so seen even when it comes to relationships. So I want to help us to see two approaches that we can take, one of two approaches that we can take when it comes to relationships and relational dynamics of any kind, that we have a choice between two approaches and only one will work. Here's approach number one when it comes to relationships. You ready for it? Here's what it is. The superior way. So notice what Jesus says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25, the rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. I want you to notice that Jesus says that the person who hears and acts on his words or obeys his words or follows his words is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. That word wise means superior. The Bible speaks a whole lot about wisdom in the Bible and how wisdom is superior. That in all you're getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. So in other words, here's what I think Jesus is trying to teach us about life, about eternal life, that we can also apply to relationships. That when it comes to relationships, we need to go about approaching relationships and relational complexities and dynamics God's way. The superior way. What does it mean to do things God's way? What does it mean to do relationships God's way? It means that I follow his word. It means that I follow his instructions. Because I can't expect to have a healthy relationship and I don't follow the one who actually created the relationships and has given me a manual as to how they're supposed to function. And many of us are trying to build a relationship without the right manual. But Jesus says, but when you follow my manual, you are the wise person who is like the person who builds his or her house on the rock. Wisdom means, and I love the fact that in our youth, in our kids' classes on Sunday mornings, they're talking about wisdom right now. Wisdom means not just knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Because it's not enough for me just to know the word. Many of us may know the word, but the question is, am I putting it into action? Which is why James says, blessed is the person who doesn't just hear the word, but the person who does the word. So in other words, you and I could come in here every Sunday morning. We can be in the Connect group and we can open up the scriptures. But if I'm not putting it to work, then it ain't going to work for me. But when I put it to work, what happens now is I'm building something stable. Matter of fact, Luke picks up on what Jesus says here in Matthew. Luke actually records some different words. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, Luke actually says that the person who builds a house on the rock, they dug deep. In other words, this, in order to build a house on the rock in that first century Palestinian context, Greco-Roman context, you had to go beneath the surface to get to the rock. The sand was on the surface. But if you wanted something that was lasting and valuable and good, you had to go beneath the surface. Can I ask us a question? I wonder how many of us are settling for surface relationships right now. How many of us? You got to dig deep. That's what Jesus says. That person who built a house on the rock, they dug deep. going beyond the surface. Because some of us maybe not getting it. So in other words, I can't just date somebody just because they look good. I can't just date somebody just because, like, we go to the same school. I got to actually go deeper. I got to find out what their values are. I got to ask the most important, do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I go to church. That's not the same. I got to go beneath the surface. And not just in the spiritual things, you know, like if I'm thinking about marrying this person, right, and we've maybe been together for so long, we got to start having some real questions. Hey, how's your finances? Y'all ain't going to be real with me this series. How's your finances? What's your debt-to-income ratio? Watch this. Here's why this is important. Because you do realize that when you marry them, their debt becomes our debt. I'm not saying don't marry them. I'm just saying you need to be aware. That's beneath the surface. Because a lot of times what happens is society sells us on this surface, superficial type of relationship. But when the rubber hits the road and when things get hard, that, watch this, that's when what's beneath the surface comes to the surface. And Jesus says, any person who builds their life on my words, does what I say, follows my instructions, follows my manual, is like the wise person who doesn't just settle for the surface, they go beneath the surface. Because when you're building something valuable like a relationship, you don't build on surface, you build on substance. When you're building something valuable, you don't build it on something that's surface. You build it on something that's substance. So when you get past their looks, what kind of connection you got? Like, you, when it comes to building friendships, it can't just be like, oh, we like the same team. I mean, that's cool, but we got to go beyond that. Tell me someone a little bit about your perspective. Does this make sense? I got to go beneath the surface. I got to do it according to God's word. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible has a whole lot to say about itself when it comes to God's word. Here's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 says. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Jesus says, this is what my word does. It shows you the right way, and it shows you the wrong way. It shows you what's wrong and in error in your own life. It corrects you. It encourages you, some translation says. And then verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's what his word is all about. And when we go back to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this contrast between somebody who follows his word and somebody who doesn't. And he says the wise person builds their house on the rock, but the foolish person, we're getting out in a moment, builds their house on the sand. And I want you to also notice that not only are they building something, but both houses experience the same storm. The rains came, the rivers rose, and the wind pounded. But this first house didn't collapse. Because of its foundation. Everybody say foundation. Because of what it was built on. And when we build our lives and relationships on God's word, it leads to good things. It's the superior way. And God's way, the superior way, it leads to stability. It leads to security. That's what we see happening here. That this house was stable, y'all. The winds were blowing against it, but it didn't move. The rivers were rising around it. But it didn't move. It was stable. It was grounded. And it didn't collapse. It was successful. Next week, I'm going to talk about the secret to successful relationships. That when we build our lives according to God's word, it allows us to experience stability and security and success. Matter of fact, the scripture says it like this in Psalm 1, verse 1. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked. In other words, check your advice. Where are you getting your counsel from? Dr. Phil cannot be the end-all, be-all of my relationship advice, whether I'm single, widowed, married, child, divorced, dating. Oprah cannot be that. The View cannot be that. IG influencer cannot be that. Celebrity couples cannot be that. You want me to tell you one thing that they all have in common? All of them end at some point. I got to build it on something that's actually stable. What kind of advice am I taking? Here's what the Bible continues to say. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Watch verse 2. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Watch verse 3. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bear its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. When you and I build our lives and relationships according to God's word, it leads to a fulfillment, if you will. And it leads to protection. And it leads to a joy. I'm going to be honest. Where I've had the most difficulty in any moment of my life, it was because I went against God's word. Every single time. Whether it was dating growing up and being with somebody I didn't need to be with, whether it was a career, whether it was a hobby, whatever it was, whether it was a major in college, that whenever I did things my way, it never worked. It led to frustration. It led to difficulty. And if we could be honest, many of us in here, look, we've done that. But many of us can also testify that when you did it God's way, watch what God did. You saw God move in your life. You saw the favor of God flowing in your life. And you were like, man, it seems like there's an ease to my life. And it's not because you're that good. It's because you aligned yourself with the word of God. And you aligned yourself with his instructions. And you aligned yourself with his wisdom from his word. And a grace begins to flow. And a prosperity begins to flow. And an anointing begins to flow. It doesn't mean that your life was perfect. It just simply means that you had the presence of God at work in your life because you had submitted to the word of God. I want to encourage us today to do it God's way, the superior way. And this scriptural truth of doing it God's way, the superior way, and it applies in every area of our lives. It applies to your relationships. It applies to your finances. Are you doing it God's way? It applies to your career. Are you choosing based upon what God says or based upon what your parents say? Come on, college students, I know right now you're in college right now. You're trying to figure things out, and maybe you came with the whole aspect of your parents wanting you to do this major, and I respectfully say that's cool, but have you consulted what God wants? They're doing the best that they can, but at some point you got to get to the place and realize, is this what God wants me to do? The job that I'm thinking about taking, what does God say about it? Have I prayed about it? Have I fasted about it? That following God's way is something that I apply to my decisions. The person that you're considering dating, have you prayed about it? Do they have the character of Christ in their life? I got to think about these things. It applies to everything. When it comes to my friendships, what does the Lord say about the friends that I have? What kind of friends do I have in my life? Because you do realize that your relationships will determine so much of where your life goes. One person said that your relationships can be the closest thing to heaven on earth or hell on earth. So I gotta examine that. What does God say about this? What does God's word say about my marriage? What does God's word say about being single? About parenting? Here's one that we're going to get into in a few weeks. What's God's word say about intimacy? Because we know what culture says. But what's God say? Because if you do what culture says, you will get what culture has. And culture stuff don't never hold up. And I want to help us understand that if you want to see your relationships thrive this year, if you want to see them flourish the way that God wants them to be, not be perfect, but if you want to see them begin to produce that which God has created and form them produce, we got to be willing to follow his manual. We got to be willing to follow his blueprint. Because oftentimes what happens is we often want the blessings of God without following the instructions of God. That in order to walk in abundance, family, in order to walk in the abundance of God, we have to learn to walk in obedience to God. Because God don't bless no mess. So like, we can't ask God bless this relationship. God's like, I didn't even tell you to get with them. Like, why would I bless something that I didn't ordain? Now that make me look bad. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And the question we got to ask ourselves is am I following his instruction? And I want to encourage us to let you know, family, that God's way will allow you to prosper. God's way will protect you from being with the wrong person. God's way will spare you from unnecessary pain. God's way will keep you secure when everything around you is shaking. And just like Josiah and I needed the manual to build that beautiful creation, we need God's instruction to build our lives and to build relationships the way that God wants them to be in order for them to work. We got to take the superior way. Everybody say the superior way. So that's the first way that Jesus says. Here's the second way. He says, you can either choose the superior way or you can choose the senseless way. And here's what he says in verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish, everybody say foolish, foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Notice that Jesus says, any person who hears his words but doesn't act on them, obey them, follow them, is a foolish man. It's like a person who builds their house on the sand. And when Jesus uses his language, he knew exactly what he was doing, and the people knew exactly what he was saying. Because more than likely, the people who were listening to him would say, why would a person build their house on the sand the way floods happen in our area? No wise person, no smart person would build their house on sand. They would build it on the rock. And as a matter of fact, Jesus uses the word foolish. Everybody say foolish. Now, the reason why I want you to say this word is because of what I'm about to say next. Foolish, in the original Greek language of this word here in the New Testament, is the Greek word moros, which is where we get our English word moron. I ain't saying Jesus did. And you know what that means? Silly. Stupid. You know what Jesus is saying? To not follow my words, to not take heed of what I'm saying, in life, in relationships, is stupid. I almost thought about calling this point, but I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to offend nobody, but I'm going to just say it so that way you know what it was going to be and how the Lord speaks to me. The superior way or the stupid way? Now, some of us needed to hear that. He says you could do it the wise way, you could do it the smart way, or you could do it the stupid way. What's the stupid way? Not doing what Jesus says. Following your own path. Doing your own thing. The house built on sand, what is this reflective of? It's reflective on not following God's word. Sand represents lies of culture. Sand represents all these different philosophies and all these different things that we see in culture and that we see in the world. And God is like, you can try to follow all those things. That's stupid to do that because it's not going to hold up. You could try to do life on your own. You could try to do marriage on your own. You could try to do parenting on your own. You could try to do singleness on your own. You could try to do it according to what culture says, but it's stupid because it won't last. Because only his word will last. And Jesus says, when the storms came, watch this, it collapsed with a great crash. And as I was studying this, y'all, I was asking God, God, help me to see something that I've never seen, because I love this text. I preach this many times over the course of half my life of preaching in different areas and different scenes and seasons and all that. And God took me to that word great. I was like, great just means a lot, big. No, no, no. Great here means surprise. That it fell with a great crash. It was a surprise. In other words, they didn't see it coming. They didn't plan on it happening. Because nobody plans to wreck their home. Come on. Like, nobody plans on wrecking their life. Jesus says, when you and I build our lives on something other than his word, it's going to catch you at a time when you don't see it coming. Because can't nobody control the weather and the elements of life. And it comes at a time that you don't expect. So you might get by one day. Oh, we good. We doing our own thing. You might get by a week. You might get by a month. But when that storm of life shows up at your door, that's when you're going to really find out what this thing is made of. And what storms do is they reveal the quality of something that which has been built. Every person is going to go through a storm. But the question is, how do you go through the storm? Every person, myself included, we're going to walk through tests. We're going to walk through trials. Jesus said, in this life, you will have much trouble, but take joy because I've overcome the world. In other words, you will go through some stuff, but if you are in me, the stuff won't get to you. And the person who builds their life their own way, they're going to be surprised and blindsided by the fact that it wouldn't hold up. So you know what it sounds like? I thought you loved me. I thought we were boys. You betrayed me. I thought you were my friend. But the question is, what do we build it on? Was it built according to God's blueprint? Or our personal blueprint? Or culture's blueprint? And you know what's interesting? This goes with the same thing that Jesus talks about earlier in Matthew 7. Because remember what he said. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will be in heaven. So here's, you know what he's saying? To connect it with this whole surprise. He says, when y'all get to the crib, kingdom, heaven, yeah. When y'all get to my crib, there's going to be some people that you see here that you didn't even think would be here. Like, they here? And let's be real. And they're going to look at you like, you here? But what's going to be even more of a surprise is who's not there. Because not everything that looks good on the surface is built on substance. And we live in a time, family, where we are obsessed with how we look on the surface. And so we take the perfect selfie and we put all these different filters in there so that way we can hide our blemishes and all these different types of things. And you take 50 pictures of the same pose because the lighting wasn't right. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all convicted by that, pastor. See, I was cool with you until you said that. Don't talk about my selfie game. But we live in a culture that's very superficial. Matter of fact, oh, if I had to rename that last point, I would say the superior way and the superficial way. Because many people are building their lives superficially. God would say in Genesis, fig leaves. Things that have no substance. So if I have a better career, I'll be more fulfilled. If I find the person who looks good, I'll be satisfied. But I'm here to let you know that there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. The only one who can do that is Jesus. The only one who can bring forth fulfillment is Jesus and his word. The only one that we can build our lives on in which it will last is Jesus. Nothing else. And it has to be applied to every area of our lives. So we can either build it the superior way or the superficial way. And Jesus says, when you build your life on anything other than my word, it will lead to disaster. And the Bible speaks about this a whole lot. Here's what Proverbs 14 says. There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, its way is death. So here's how this convicts me. The things that you think are right actually might be wrong. Your approach to relationships, we got to examine it, myself included. Our approach to relationships might be off. We got to measure them according to the manual. Does it line up with what God has said? And I believe the reason why there's so much relational dysfunction is because we've gotten away from the manual. I believe the reason why there's so many broken relationships, just like there would be broken pieces in the Lego creation, is because we've gotten away from the manual. I believe that the reason why there's so many broken families is because we've gotten away from the manual. I believe that the reason why there's broken men and broken women and broken young people is because we have gotten away from the manual. But when we come back to the manual, when we come back to the Word of God, when we come back to the instructions of God, I love the fact that even God is able to repair that which has been broken. God specializes in taking broken pieces and putting them back together because He is the master builder. He is the cornerstone. He is the one who is able to make beauty out of ashes, which gives us hope because some of our lives have fell apart. Some of our relationships have fell apart. Some of our marriages have ended. Some of us have experienced relationships that were here one season and have transitioned out. Some of us are now single. Some of us are now widowed. Some of us are in different places. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been molested. Some of us have experienced all types of relational pain. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus says that no matter what has happened to you, He is the master builder. He is able to rebuild things. He is able to rebuild our lives. He is able to rebuild a relationship. He is able to rebuild our purpose. He is able to rebuild our confidence. He is able to rebuild our esteem. Because when we're grounded in Him, it leads to satisfaction. When we don't do it His way, it leads to instability. And I want to give us this word of caution and encouragement at the same time, that God's way is available to everybody. He is so good, y'all. He says, I'm going to show you the way. But here's the tragedy. It's not utilized by everybody. That's the sad part. God says, I've given you the manual. How corrupt would it be of God to give us the pieces but not give a manual? How frustrating would it be for you and I if we were building a Lego creation and it had all the 400 plus pieces but there was no manual? But God is so good, He says, I'm not going to let you do this by yourself. I'm going to give you a manual. How to build a home. How to date. How to approach sexuality. How to approach marriage. How to approach being single. How to approach friendships. He says, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I care about you too much. I'm going to give you what you need so that you can have relationships that work. The scripture in Psalm 127, verse 1 says it like this, that unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor over it in vain. In other words, y'all, if the Lord's not at the center of it, it's in vain. My greatest pain in my life at any juncture has typically been connected when Jesus was not at the center. Now, don't misinterpret what I'm saying, that when Jesus is at the center that everything will be perfect. No. We learned in this text that the storms will come. Hardships will come. Our family, we've walked through different things. We've gotten doctor's reports that cause us to be like, whoa. But you know how we survived? Because we had an anchor. And His name was Jesus. He kept us grounded. That's the only reason we didn't drift away in depression or drift away in discouragement, drift away in defeat. It's because we had an anchor. And if you know anything about an anchor is connected to some type of boat to keep the boat from drifting too far. It's weighted down, watch this, beneath the surface. And Jesus says, I am the great anchor that will anchor you down. No matter what's going on the surface. I am the one who will anchor your relationship, anchor your marriage, anchor you as a single person, anchor you as a widowed person, anchor you in your dating. Jesus is our anchor. And I believe that what He wants us to realize in this series is that we can build strategically or stupid. We can build in a superior way or in a senseless and superficial way. We can build intentionally or idiotically. We can build methodically or moronically. I'm saying all that to say, we can do it God's way or we can do it the world's way. But God's way is tested. It is proven that when we build it His way, it flourishes, it lasts, it's stable. And either way, something is going to be built in your life. And I just want to know, are you at the place this year where you're saying, I don't want my relational dynamics of my life to be what they once were. I don't want there to be present just tension in my household all the time. I don't want to keep dating the wrong person. Same person with a different name. Look different, but the same spirit. I'm going to do it God's way. Let me say it like this, that in order for our relationships to work, we have to allow the one who designed them to define them. We can't do it our way anymore. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in order for that to happen, we got to do it his way, y'all. And I believe, family, that if we would make a commitment and a decision to say, God, I'm going to do it your way, watch what he does. Watch it be successful. Watch it be strong. Watch it be stable. Watch how you will have a testimony where you can look back and see, man, we didn't know how we were going to make it, but God, we did it his way. We built it according to his design, and he kept us. He preserved us. He protected us. He granted us success. And if you want your relationships of any kind to work, you got to do it God's way. This message in this series right here, y'all, this is the most important message because everything we're going to talk about is God's way from here on out. But if you don't get this, nothing else is going to work because this is the foundation. It starts here. So I want to implore you to stop believing the lies of culture, to stop believing what culture says, to stop believing what everybody else around you, well, if I was you, I would leave them. But did God say that? If I was you, I would date this person. But did God say that? If I were you, I'd sleep with this person. Did God say that? Come on. I'm just looking for some people who are saying, this year, I'm going to do it God's way. That no longer will I do it my way. My way doesn't work. My way has led to destruction. But this is the year where I walk in abundance. This is the year where I walk in fullness. This is the year where I will do it God's way. Not my way. Not my will. Let his be done. Not my will, but let his be done. This is the year. I'm going to do it his way. And it's not just relationships to do his way. It's life to do his way. If you want your life to flourish, you can't do it your way no more. You can't. And I'm begging you, stop trying to drive your life. Let the captain do that. Let Jesus do that. Stop thinking that you got to make all the decisions. Be led by the Spirit this year. Do it his way. Do it his way. I want everybody to stand to our feet. This needs to be the year where we say, I'm going to do it God's way. And let's be real. Some of us need to repent because we tried to do it our way for so long. And it hasn't worked. But God is gracious. He gives us the opportunity to come back to him, to get in agreement with him. Some of you are here today, and you've been trying to do life your own way for so long. You've been trying to go at things your own way. Jesus says, nothing will work unless you're connected to me. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, your life will be fruitful. You'll bear much fruit. But without me, he says, this is John 15, you can do nothing. Your life won't be fruitful. It might be functioning, but it won't be fruitful. We don't want a functioning life. We want a fruitful life. Amen. And the only way that could happen is by getting connected to Christ. Some of you are here today, and you've never gotten connected to him. You've come to church, but you've never come to Christ. You've never said yes to him. I don't care if you're a teenager, college student, young adult, married, single, older, retired. The appeal and the invitation is for all of us. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but you've got to come to me to get it. So some of you are here today, and you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Jesus. The way that happens is by placing your faith in him, giving him your life, saying, Jesus, I don't want to do this my own way. And he came to cleanse us of our sin. He came to forgive us of our iniquity. He came to put us in relationship with himself. So I'm going to invite us with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning, if you're online, you've never come to Christ. You've been trying to do it your own way. When you look at this passage, you see your own life. You see how your life has fallen apart. You've seen how your life has collapsed, and it surprised you. You didn't see it coming. But today, here's the good news. No matter how much your life is falling apart, the invitation from the one who can put it back together is for you. He says, if you come to me, you'll become a new creation. I'll build something better. So if this is you today, you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to come to Christ today. I want to give him my life. I no longer want to live life my own way. I'm going to live life according to Jesus. I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. I'm going to receive his love. I'm going to receive his grace. If that's you, on the count of three, our heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, just shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, you want to say yes to Christ. You want to give him your life. You want to devote yourself to him. Come on, just shoot up your hand. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to see you. That's you. Coming up, you're online. This is for you as well. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to build my life on him. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, can we celebrate God this morning for his grace?